Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk, the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and you are listening to episode 27 of Overdunk. So, yeah, we're getting old up there, almost ready to rent a car, I think. Or is that 25? We already passed that point, probably. Today, I am joined by another amazing team in the North America scene. I am joined by Sigma Kanto Trainers, a.k.a. SKT. What's up, you guys?
Hello.
Welcome onto the show, everybody. I'm glad I got to interview you guys finally. It's been so long. I've been trying to get SKT on the squad, so I'm glad you are here. Well, I know of your team, but maybe not everybody who's watching or listening along knows who you guys are. So let's just do a quick round of introductions from the team. JL, why don't you kick us off? Who, what's your name? What do people maybe know you for? And then what role do you play for SKT?
Hi, I'm JL. I play support for my team. I am pretty much known for, I think, Greed and Invade, because most jungler hates me from that one.
Sure.
That's about it, I think.
Okay, very, very cool. All right, Koozie, how about you?
Hello, I'm Koozie. I play tank for SKT, and you probably won't know me because I started the game with 2 weeks left of Season 3.
Okay, sweet.
Now I don't really have much backstory.
Yeah, you hit the ground running. You're in a top 16 of a finals upcoming, man, so that's a great start. That's hype. All right, MQL, how about you?
Hello. As you may know me, I am MQL. Yes, MQL. I play top lane, most notably Lucario. Sometimes I magically spawn in your jungle by accident, and
that's
I'm well known.
Wait, that's what you're most well known for, huh?
Oh, boom. All right. Well, no, that is a great introduction. MQL, we'll have more to talk about for sure. Regrets, welcome to the show. How about you? Introduce yourself, what people might know you for, and then what role you play for SKT.
I'm Regrets. I play jungle for SKT. I'll talk a little bit about my background. I used to be a professional player for Mobile Legends.
Oh, cool.
I used to be a top 2 team in NA. I play jungle. People might know me for Greninja and Cinerace.
Okay. Very, very cool. Awesome. Former pro of a different team. Very sweet. Rolling it down. How about you go next?
Hi. My name is Rolling It Down. I'm the attacker player for SKT. What people might know me for, well, read the name. I used to be the Wiggly player for our Scorecon team.
Gotcha.
But times change, so I just usually play Pikachu now in Ninetales.
The infamous SKT score comp. We'll definitely have to talk about that a little bit more on the show in the future here. But Rotom, why don't you round us out?
Hi, I'm Rotom, and I now coach / manage SKT. I used to be the jungle player while we were score strating, but I did take a little bit break off the active roster because of personal reasons, busy schedule. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, you guys. Really, really excited to have this squad. An interesting team, because we have talked about SKT a little bit before the show. You guys have been a squad for the name, Sigma Kanto Trainers, has been around for a long, long time, but we've seen a lot of different iterations of the roster. Who of you are OGs from the inception of SKT who are still on the team?
It would be me and Roland.
Okay, very cool. So JL and Rolling It Down, that's awesome. Guys, I'm curious, why the name SKT? Is it the, reference to the League of Legends team, SKT, and then you just tied Sigma Kanto Trainers onto it, or the reverse? How did the name of Sigma Kanto Trainers come around?
I think I came up with a Sigma thing because of the how we play the game, like in NA, because no one wants to play like Sparkle. Everybody hated us and everything. But we still kept on playing it. But kind of trainers, I just filled it up.
Yeah, no, it does. It definitely rolls off the tongue. I like it. That's fantastic. That's a great name inception. But okay, awesome. So this conglomeration of a roster has come together after many, many months, a few roster changes, definitely some great tournament success, some good performances, and not just the officials. I've definitely seen you guys grinding a lot of other tournaments. But How recently was this five active roster players formed before the May qualifiers?
One day, I think.
No.
I got Tusi one day before.
Boy, Friday,
Regrets like 1 week before or 2 weeks, I think.
Okay. That's awesome. So you pulled into these guys one day before. Kuzi, what's the story of you getting picked up a day before? Were you actively looking for a team? Was JL screaming in your DMs? What happened?
So, JL being my biggest fan. No, I'm joking. I was looking for a team, and I came across JL, and I was trying out for so many teams. I tried out for everything. I tried for Spodiac's team, everything I could. And then JL hit me up, and I really liked how we all vibed, and just went with that.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Okay. So I know Rolling It, you and JL have been together for a long, long time. Kuzi, you're the newest addition. MQL sounds like you're kind of the middle of the road in terms of not right there from the start, but you joined it. You've been around for quite some time. Is that right?
Yes, that is 100% correct.
Okay, got you. And would you say you're like the self-proclaimed anchor of the team?
Whoa.
Maybe not self-proclaimed. I did call you that. No, of course not. I'm not going to ask you that. But I do want to get into some fun team questions, guys. So, like I said, not everybody watching or listening is going to know who SKT is. And I want to get to, like, the real truth of Sigma Kanto Traders. You're not just a group of six players and manager, you know, cruising through these finals. You're people. And I want to know the deepest, darkest secrets that SKT's got to hide. So, without further ado, my favorite question to ask on the show: who ints the most on Sigma Kanto Trainers?
MQL.
Okay.
MQL, without a doubt.
Okay. MQL, any rebuttal?
I knew this question was coming from a mile away. All right. Sometimes, you know, the good old Wi-Fi, the router box, it just likes to give up.
We always joke that if MQL ever has green bar, like, he'd be the best top laner in the world.
We're just seeking that top lane green bar one day. Hey, one day we'll get lands for this game, and then MQL is going to be god mode. I believe it.
Maybe.
We all believe.
That's awesome. Okay, well, we talked a little bit already. We've alluded to the infamous SKT score comp that existed for quite some time. It sounds like you guys maybe aren't playing it as much anymore, or if at all. But I want to know, who's the brainiac behind the crazy strats of the team? Who comes up with the most off-the-wall, off-meta, wild plays to do in-game?
JL.
Okay, gotcha. JL, how does your brain work this way?
I think it comes from, like, my past experience from Dota 2. Like,
okay.
I think I can see, like, how things would happen if we had this, if we had that, like, and then I just try to combine them.
Cool, that's awesome. So, past game experience, you're trying to apply, you know, those same lessons you've learned. A ton of time grinding in Dota 2, I assume. It's a game that does demand a lot of your attention if you want to get good. My Dota 2 skills, not exactly there. So, I totally understand, though. That's very cool. Okay, well, craziest strats of the team. MQL, you got thrown under the bus for my first question. You were attacked for the most on the team. Let's face it, you were. But I want to give you the chance to answer this one. Who's the funniest member of the squad? You can say yourself if you want to.
Well, that's I would say more than likely Rolling. Yeah, I see in the lobby screen, he always entertains the team and makes interesting jokes.
Aw, shucks. You don't have to call me out like that.
No, shucks.
Oh, he's blushing. He's blushing. Turn on the camera, dude.
Wholesome overdunk. I love it. Okay, so Rolling It, love for your, you know, the general vibes you bring to the team. Guys, anybody else on the squad, can you attest, is Rolling It down definitely the guy that can, you know, pull your team at a tilt if you guys are losing and get that little bit of a mental reset with a funny joke or something like that?
I definitely
the anchor for sure.
Okay.
I mean, just emotionally, right? Like, I know when I play with them, I think going a little bit serious mode here, like, I think, like, if we do have a bad set or, like, things just don't go our way, like, I think I think he's like emotional control is really good for the team. Where like if we're ever tilting, like I think he's there to kind of ground us down. So I really appreciate him for that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, wholesome moments on Overdunk are what I live for. So that's fantastic. Well, guys, you are not just, you know, a good group that vibe together well. Koozy definitely can vouch for how well you guys get along. I mean, chose to go with you a day before a huge tournament, and you guys had a great run. You have qualified for the May finals happening not this weekend, but the following, I'm pretty sure, if I have my dates correct. So you guys have a little bit more prep time before the finals than you did the qualifiers. But I want to talk about the prep time for the qualifiers. Did you guys scrim or play even once as a five stack before heading into tournament?
That's a good topic, though.
Honestly, I don't think much.
I think we only played on ranked. That's it.
Yeah, so like we were trying them out. As we were scrambling for players, right? We were just trying everyone out, and we didn't have much time. So like we intervaled everyone by like 30 minutes. So like we only played with the Koozie for like 30 minutes, and we're like, all right. We'll pick this guy up.
Nice. Oh, sick. That's hilarious. Well, Roland, you mentioned that you played with him only for 30 minutes. You liked what you saw. What specifically did you like about Koozie that was like, we're getting this guy?
He's a really good tank player, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah?
Plays like a tank. Got to be up forward. Got to make calls. Knows where to be at right times. And yeah, just an overall great player. Yeah,
love to see
him. And I knew in the back of my head that we had to pick up this guy.
All right.
Yeah, and you know, like when you're trying people out, like I think usually like you see these things like almost immediately. Like I mean, we obviously didn't have a lot of time to pick people up. Since like, I mean, we were put in a precarious position, and we were down a player. But when we saw a lot of the tank players that we were trying out, you know, I think we could immediately see like even in the first like 5 minutes that like Koozie definitely had the talent and like, you know, the mechanical ability to do what was required. So sick. I think we really like what we saw.
That's awesome. Well, you liked what you saw. You liked the results that you saw as well. So let's actually jump in and look at your bracket a little bit here. So I'll bring it up on stream and then I will share for you guys too. So I'll bring that up. But so let's take a look at this. You guys head into the bracket. You're 20th seed. So you guys have accrued some championship points throughout your runs in these official events. You guys have hit top 16 once or twice before.
I think we did February and March twice.
Okay, so like February and March and April.
Yeah, we didn't make it for the AOS Cup.
Okay, didn't make it for AOS, but those other two. So that's where your championship points are coming from. Okay, but still a pretty respectable seed. 20th seed in these like giant, you know, like 110-120 like or so teams that are being added to this tournament. It's still pretty nice to have. You know, you guys go up against Drain Gang first, and then you play up against Indigo. I recognize the name Indigo maybe from some tournament, but either way, these two teams, I'm not as familiar with them. You're able to 2-0 your first two games. Were these both like pretty handily in Sigma Kanto's trainers, you know, hands the whole time? Did you guys really feel the energy? You guys were killing it, or were these closer than they looked?
I mean, I don't want to say we were killing it. That's kind of disrespectful, but I mean, we were very comfortable in all four of those games.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good time to get comfortable, though. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we were very confident going into game, set one and set two.
Okay.
I felt the whole team was confident throughout the whole qualifiers of the Opens.
Cool.
Because, we're all skilled players, and we have the top 16. And that's exactly what we did, so yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it really paid off. So you guys got 2-0. Were these two games that you were feeling confident already and they went pretty well in your direction? Was that confidence, like, did it maybe clear away some of the nerves of, you know, brand new stack of five team members? Like, we have this new player. Did everything start fading away a little bit once you got these couple of wins?
Well, I think Koozie might be the one to answer this question, because I think the rest of us, like, we've had quite a bit of tournament experience.
Sure.
If you want to take that away, Koozie, how'd you feel doing your tournament honestly, here?
I had nothing to lose, man. Like, first tournament, I was just coming out guns blazing.
All you had was to gain.
All you had was to game. That's awesome.
I love that. Nobody knows me. I qual. People know me. You know,
there you go. Koozie, what Pokemon were you on for Defender in this one?
So the first two games, I mained Slowbro, so I played Slowbro the first four games.
Gotcha.
And then against actual trash, I played Blissey.
Okay.
And then the rest I played Slowbro.
Okay, got you. So you opted into a Blissey pick for this game. So this is where, you know, the rubber really meets the road, if you will. You're going up against your first higher seeded team than you. This is actual trash. They made AOS Cups, so top 16, so they're going to have a little bit more championship behind them. Of course, Smushy's team. We love you, Smushy. You guys play actual trash, and this one goes in the 2-1. So obviously a closer game. Guys, do you remember this one at all? Anybody want to give me a bit of a breakdown of what went down between SKT and actual trash?
Is that the game regrets the result?
Because it's Smushikao's team, and we expected him to pick Mamoswine to counter it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't remember how we played.
We expected him to pick Mamo, because, I mean, that's obviously, like, he is probably the best Mamo in the world, like, by far. Smushy's insane on Mamoswine. And that's why we picked the Blissey over the Slowbro, just to try to do something and help it, but... Luckily, they played Blissey, something he's not as comfortable on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that definitely helped us squeak out a win.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. So, this one was 2-1. The game loss that you guys had, what was, like, really the turning point, if you remember in that time? What did actual trash really able to do to get that game win against you guys?
I think it was a zap flip, I'm not going to lie.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I think it was a zap flip.
It happens.
I think almost every game we were winning, like, hard.
Okay.
From 2 to 8 minutes.
Gotcha.
And then it just comes down to the zap.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next game then. This is the number 4 seed. So I know I'm talking about seeds so much, but number 4 seed, Sandra's Cheeky Children. You're going up against the Sandra squad. They made it to, you know, top 8 of AO. So definitely you're, you know, moving up that metaphorical ladder. But you're able to take this one 2-0. Koozie, you said you were back on Slowbro. What was somebody else? What was the rest of your comp like if building around Slowbro? What other Pokemon were you guys playing?
We were playing Lucario, Blissey, not Blissey, Slowbro.
Okay.
And Greninja Jungle.
Okay.
And Pikachu Attacker.
Pikachu Attacker. Okay, very cool. Rolling it down, you're still on the Pika, huh?
Yeah.
Talk to me about why you're still on Pikachu.
I think that's my most comfortable pick. Prior to being an attacker main, I used to be a defender main for a couple other teams. Gosh. And I ended up just falling into attack role because I was never really comfortable on a tank main. That's just not my play style. So.
Sure.
Yeah, my most old.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Oof. Only he's allowed to say that, by the way. They've been playing together forever. only he's allowed to say that. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. So that was your composition. You're able to take down a very, very strong team in Sandra's 2-0. Was this game closer than the scoreline looks right now? Or, like, was this another game that was really going in your favor?
No, we...
Oh my god.
Okay. That's our top lane.
Imagine that tournament.
Yeah. Alright, I think I can say what happened here.
Sure.
I think our draft was already winning because they're picking Venusaur bottom and we have Pikachu.
Right.
So that's already expected to win. And then I just abused the fact that they have a Gardevoir on jungle. So I invaded twice on that game and like took the bus.
Were you greeted playing in that one?
No, Hoopa.
Hoopa invade. Okay, very fun. All right, so you were able to just... Was there a little bit of, you know, a mental attack against them then if you are Hoopa invading their jungle?
I think every time I invade, I already tilt the enemy jungle.
Oof, yeah, well...
He took both of the buffs both games, I think, and they were also behind top lane.
Really?
Sandra was like level 4 in like 6 minutes into the game. It was not a sight to be seen.
Oof, yeah.
Just don't let Ryan play the game, and then
I mean that'll definitely help you for sure. If you don't allow Ryan to play the game, that'll give you an advantage. But okay, so you guys counter-strat really, really well. Did you? So I'm assuming you knew the Gardevoir was going to be a selection even before you got into game.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah, so Ryan's very notorious. Notorious?
Notorious.
Sorry. English on first language. Notorious Gardevoir player.
Ah, yes.
And I think the greetings pretty much guaranteed too.
Sandra.
It's part of the name, right? You gotta. You got a hard commit. Okay, well, awesome. So far, your run, you're absolutely killing. You've only dropped one game, and that's the actual trash in a proclaimed zap flip. You're heading into your next game, another really tough squad. You head into Millennium. Now, at this point, I think you've already qualified, right?
Yeah.
So this is your, you've already got your winning in versus Sandra's, and you're playing for seeding against Millennium. You played for seeding against Millennium. You go down 2-1. Before we actually talk about this specific game, were you guys like a little bit like the lazy boy chair has reclined a little bit at this point? Yeah. Like, we made it. We definitely don't need to like try hard as much. Like, we can chill. Or were you guys like still at just as locked in as before?
I don't think it's an excuse to say we weren't locked in, but we were definitely trying. Like, I think we definitely knew that.
I think subconsciously, like, it affects you just a little bit, though, right?
It's
you can take a little bit off the gas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like we were trolling or anything, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think we took a little bit of the brakes off, and you can kind of see what happens in these, like, competitive settings when you do.
Totally makes sense. So you do drop this one 2-1, but like we said, it was for seeding. So first off, congratulations from me for making it into the May finals. I'm super excited to watch Sigma Kanto Trainers, see what you guys can do there. Your third round in a finals tournament, so grinding, getting those championship points. Do you guys, just off the top of your head, have any idea where your team is ranked in terms of championship points on the leaderboard for NA?
Well, we're not really sure right now. I mean, when we went in, like, we were 20th, right? Like, it says in the bracket. But like, I think a lot of it has to do with like what teams have what players, because I believe the points are individual.
They are. So yeah, points are tied to individual players.
Yeah. And then, like, we don't know what the shakeup is going to be exactly, because I know, like, a great team like TOS, like, didn't make it to the finals for here, and they're like in the top 12, right?
Or 13. Yeah, they're gonna drop a decent amount of points. That's true.
Yeah, so like, depending on how well we do, like, it's definitely in the realm of possibility for us to get to top 12 and try to get to the regionals.
Yeah,
but like, I don't know what the shakeup is gonna be, because we haven't really looked too much into like, oh, what team made it that was in like the top 12 and what didn't. So. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, we're relatively close up there. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, that definitely seems like that's got to be the main goal. I mean, well, number one goal, win May Finals, and then you've guaranteed it. But, I mean, that's got to be definitely the push, right? You do not want to have to go through another qualifier tournament in the LCQ. If you get into that top 12, so, like, the top four of May, and then the top eight after that in points, right? We'll be moving on. So, or however that distributes. I don't know which one gets, like, qualified in first around in that, how that works.
Yeah, the qualifiers, you know, it's always tough, right? Like, I know, I mean, even as a good team, like, I'll be honest, like, stuff can happen, right? Like,
absolutely,
great teams that just never didn't make it, like, lost some games, dropped some games, because, you know, like, I think especially if you're in a lower bracket, you're playing like, what, like 15 games or something.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you have an onslaught of games to make your way through.
And, like, we've experienced this ourselves, just, like, going against Millennium. Like, if you have a slight lapse of judgment, like, you know, you're up for good, right?
Yeah. Well, luckily, but, you know, guys weren't. You had already qualified, so.
But that's, I'm just saying, like, when we, like, if we can get to, you know, the event without going through the qualifiers, like, that would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's always hard.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk about May Finals then. Anybody who, someone else here. Do you guys think that, like, let me rephrase this question. What placement in May do you guys think is, like, that is our benchmark for success? We want to try our best to get first, but if we were top four, top eight, like, either one of those, we'd be like, you know what, that's fine, and then we'll just do better next tournament. Like, we're okay with that. Where are your guys, like, benchmark for this upcoming tournament? Where do you think that SKT should realistically, and where do you want to sit at?
Well, I guess I can take this. Or, MKL, you can take this one.
Oh, okay. Well, my personal goal for the team, I think we can at least make top six. I know we have the potential, and we're all skilled players here, and we just need more practice, play some more scrims, and show what we can do in the finals.
More and practice, better ping. You guys are going to be unbeatable.
I think we need to not sleep on VOD reviews. That's mostly it.
Okay. Some family drama coming up during during the podcast.
Oh,
good.
It's all MQL.
Wow, bro. Raking it, man.
Man, Kusi, you were sleeping too.
Oh, my gosh.
I was lost. I was so tired.
Yeah, because he's owning up to it. He's like, listen, man, I wasn't going to be no matter what. But okay, awesome. Well, in May finals, I was taking a look at the hypothetical bracket done up by Mike Excellent, you know, coach of Black Hand. It looks like if the championship points, everything is seeded how it normally is, which I don't know why there'd be any difference. Your first matchup is going to be against Aphelion Esports, a.k.a. Nemesis, a.k.a. Artreyu, Rex and Company, the trainer, LGC, Yutfan, and Aznable. How do you guys think you match up against Nemesis as your first round team to play against?
Well, we really, I don't think we ever scrimmed Nemesis, but okay. I've been seeing their comps and how they play. They're a very good team. And it's going to be difficult to beat them, but we're going to have to find out in the finals.
Just flip it, you know?
Just flip it. You're flipping against Artreyu though. That's a tough player to flip against for sure.
We have our ingredients. Unfortunately,
I don't know. Yeah, we call all into Blissey Unite. That's all we get.
Press your buttons better. That makes sense. Regrets, how about you? If you are on that jungle role and you're having to go up against a team like Nemesis, what kind of Pokemon do you think that you need to select? And like, how do you need to update your playstyle when playing against a team that likes to do really weird rotations and really weird Pokemon selections?
I feel like we beat them in rank before. As long as we know how to play the matchup against them, mm-hmm. I think we have pretty good chance to win against him. But I think as long as we have the, you know, the mental that, you know, ready to win the tournament, then I think we'll be able to beat any team in the bracket, to be honest. So
it's a good answer. It's a very good answer. I mean, that's the truth, right? You're gonna have to beat every team if you want to be at the top. So you're gonna have to go up against anybody. I know you guys were mentioning some VOD review, some missing of VOD review. When you guys are preparing for a tournament like this, are you looking at your projected bracket and like planning specifically for teams, or with a newer roster like this, are you just trying to iron out your own gameplay and getting that to the top level?
I mean, we do a little bit of both, right? Like, I mean, okay. We definitely looked at Mike's potential bracket too, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're definitely preparing for that. And but, you know, I think the top priority as well, you know, we have to gel together. Kusi's very new. Regrets is also pretty new. So we're trying to gel together, be all on the right page. You know, that's probably the most difficult part about these, like, MOBA games is, like, you know, how to get five people to have the same idea of winning.
Yes.
Right, during the course of the game, that's the toughest part of these games, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to match up. I know that's kind of a boring answer, but
no, that is not a boring answer because it's the truth. I mean, you need to figure out your own game plan before you can start beating other people. So that is a really, really good call. I like that a lot. Okay, well, awesome. So guys, that is your upcoming tournament run. Obviously, good luck from me and congratulations on getting here in the first place. Really, really excited for you as a roster.
I'm having
a lot of fun watching you guys, but let's pivot a little bit away from the competitive tournament scene just for a second and let's talk about some in-game stuff. So a recent patch being added to the game, we now have Espeon added to the game, another evolution. So finally, the theory craft for every evolution under the sun can begin. We know that we can now have multiple. Fantastic. Have any of you guys got your hands on Espeon? And what do you think of the new Pokemon added to the game?
It's so broken, man. It has the best secure ever. I hate
really?
So
oh,
as a tank player, it's so impossible to secure against.
Against Psyshock?
I would like to differ.
Yes.
Okay, okay. JL with a counter opinion.
I think it's just, like, his secure is, like, worse than mime. Like, why would you pick him over mime, right? And mime does not need to evolve. Just put mime on bottom, and then his ult's faster, like just a little area of effect, same as the Espeon.
Yeah,
but Espeon's instant is, and like,
yeah, that's true. There's like a pretty long cast time on Espeon's ult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that's true. Okay, so differing of opinions, either Espeon is good or maybe not so good. With the recent strategies we've seen a lot of, I mean, Random Gaming employed it, Full Scent did some too. Any of these level 4 Power Spike Pokemon have started stealing a jungle buff, or maybe even two at the start of the game. Do you think that's necessary for Espeon to have any impact on the game? Do you need to give it that first jungle rotation?
Well, Espeon's a better laner than Sylveon for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Except maybe
I mean,
bees?
For the question,
does it have a better bees than Sylveon? No, right?
Nah, bro.
But once you get to, the trouble with Sylveon, like, laning, like, in, like, a competitive setting is just that, like, can you get to level 4 sometimes, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. Like, if you're level 4, yeah, I think it's good, but,
Sure.
And as to, like, sorry, what was the question about something about the strategy?
basically, is Espeon like Sylveon? Does it need a level 4 power spike? If you're going to play this Pokemon, do you need to give it the first jungle rotation?
Hey, Espeon's Swift is more stronger than Sylveon's.
I mean, you could probably definitely play as a more traditional attacker, right? Like, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure because like Espeon's been out for like what, like a couple days now.
Sure.
So I'm sure like someone might innovate a good thing, but yeah. For now, like I think Espeon does not have Sylveon's weakness of like laning and not being able to secure like. Espeon Swift is much better than Sylveon Swift, right? Like especially in lane. So you can run it as a traditional attacker, and I think you'll be fine. Whereas Sylveon, like, it struggles a little bit more in lane, but I think the power spike is a little bit better.
Okay.
So, like, it's probably better for Sylveon to get it. But, I don't know.
Rolling it. I want to talk to you about Espeon before we move on. You're the attacker player. Are you considering picking up this Pokemon to bring into lane?
Well, I did, for the G4 tournament that we just had, I did end up playing Espeon.
Oh, that's awesome. Unfortunately, I didn't get to cast in your games, but that tournament was a freaking blast. So you did bring in Espeon, huh?
Yeah, for, I think, one game. And, I do think there's some merit to the Pokemon. The Psysock Shakir, as, we were talking about, it's, very good. It's like mime. Yeah, and, adding on to the idea that of, does Espeon need, like, jungle buffs and all that first rotation? I don't think so. Like, the laning's very good. The
Swift buff.
It's a really good secure.
Yeah.
It's a really good secure.
Okay.
So, like, I don't really think you need the rotation. But,
what do you think the best part of that Pokemon's kit is? Is it the Unite? Like, the alt seems super good. It has the channel time, but it seems so strong.
Mm-hmm. I think that pretty good, actually, because you get at level 8, just like Sylveon.
That's one of the boons, for sure.
You know, you don't really have to worry about... You'll most likely have ultimate for Dreadnought, if you're doing well in lane, so which is a very big plus. But, yeah, I think it's pretty good, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So, strong potential for Espeon, maybe, and we don't have everybody convinced Kuzi is going to dream about it or nightmares about it, depending on how you define those, so they'll be struggling with it, but for the everybody else, it seems like, okay, all right, interesting. Well, let's talk about the meta that we most recently saw. G4, I think, kind of flipped things around a little bit, but Aos in U and NA, both times we saw a very, very strong flip composition win both tournaments. Flip composition immediately after that was everywhere. Like, everyone's running flip comp. It's a very, very strong composition, obviously. However, I've seen a little bit of that going back down in scrims that I've watched, but then recently I've seen it going back up. So, guys, your opinion on the flip composition, is it here to stay, or do you think that it's going to start fading away?
I mean, it has to stay, right? I mean, like, not the point of the game, but most of the games are win zap win game. So like there's always has to be that spec of get zap fastest and guarantee it. Because if you play zap right, you're pretty much guaranteeing 500 points.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
The composition can kill zap does in 5 seconds.
It's like, ridiculous. Really
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, go on.
But I think people are having a counter to it right now. So people's been running Aegis Lash and stuff to have better secure.
Mm-hmm.
So for the ripping comp, so people are stopped doing it because people know how to counter it now with like, you know, good secure Pokemon. So I think it might fade away for the next tournament.
Okay.
In my opinion. But I mean, I think it's in rank and stuff, I think there still be people playing that comp.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it'll never go away in ranked. I can guarantee that. But yeah, hopefully in tournament we'll see. Rotom, how about you? What were you saying?
Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, that's the thing about pocket strats, right? Like, when it came out in the Aos Cup, like, by Folsen, right? Like, I think, you know, you can see in the finals that I think GG was caught a little bit off guard.
Yeah.
Just because we've never seen it, really, until, I think, at least, like, that specific comp. And I think when it came out, literally everyone's, like, copying it. And I think a lot of the teams are understanding, like, how to counter it better and better. So you can probably see why, like, it's kind of diminishing a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it'll always be kind of in the back of their heads, right? Kind of
for sure.
You know, when we were doing the score strat, like, we could kind of pull it out whenever we needed to, right?
Yeah,
definitely. Like, even though, like, people, like, knew how to play against it better over time, right? But, like, you know, like, if you don't play against it for a while, like, you kind of have that same, what do you call it? Like, not as good of a mentality when it comes to those things, right?
And sure.
And then you're... that's when you pull it back out, right?
Yeah,
so that's the thing. Exactly. That's the nature of pocket strats in general, right? You always have to be prepared for it.
Yeah. Another composition added to the Sigma Kanto Trainer's utility belt. You got to keep it up there. That's great. MQL, I want to talk to you about if you play that strategy. As a Lucario, have you adopted the X attack, like energy amp, like kind of build that we've seen on that Lucario, or not as much yet?
For the rip comp or the score comp?
Rip comp.
Definitely played it. It's very intriguing. Uh-huh. I mean, it is my play style, but I'll play it for the team.
Okay.
As my favorite word, rippy flippy, whenever I unite Zapdos.
It's good. I mean, Lucario's got a great set to secure. You get, like, what, four or six? I think it's six ticks of damage while just charging the Unite. So, very fast, consistent, good damage. That's going to be a great, great secure tool. So, that's pretty huge. But, okay. So, Flip Comp maybe is starting to get countered a little bit. Age Slash, a very, very solid counter. Has its own great secure. Also does, like, percentage of max health damage. So, Blastoise is a pretty strong Blastoise counter. Sylveon does that too. But, interesting looks for that composition. But we have to talk about it. I got Sigma Kanto trainers on the podcast, the NA score comp gods. We got to talk about score comp, guys. Is it completely gone? Are we never going to see score comp again? Or are you guys going to bring it back?
Well, you know, never say never, but it's not looking great. With
okay.
Score shield nerf. I mean, that's what enabled. I think that was like the big enabler of a lot of score comps, right? Because you can stack a lot of shield. And now it's, what, like 10, 14%? I forget the exact
number. And it goes on top, which is maybe the worst part. Like, you don't have the Buddy Bears going on top of the score shield anymore, but
Yeah, so no longer can you, like, have five people, like, sit in the mid-goal, right? Like, spamming score and get it in with, like, fat shields. Like, that'll be gone within seconds.
Yeah.
You know, especially against, like, some newer threats, like the sword or, like, Blastoise. We can, like, melt your health very quickly. So, I mean, we don't really know, but sorry, go on, Dale.
I think the score comp is all about having the potential to push on late game. Like, they can't stop it. If it's five man on the pad with shields, like, they can't stop the scores.
And, okay.
You know, you guys can score, like, twice in the end game at double points. I think that's what the score comp is all about, and winning the early game.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, that's the big pivot point. Now, JL, do you think that there is, like, you know, a hybrid score comp, something else that can kind of exist still in that more niche genre of strategy? Or is it just wrong to play that style right now?
Wrong's definitely not the right word, right? Like, I think as long as Hoopa is viable, like, I think you can definitely go some hybrid comps, right?
Oh, yeah. Hoopa's nuts. Yeah, that Pokemon, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what enables a lot of these, like, mobility around the map. So, I mean, if someone's out of position, like, it's always possible for people to run hybrid or anything and score in the back.
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of mobility around the map, JL, I gotta ask, are you still running Floatstone on Greedent?
I definitely do.
No,
That, I mean, if I'm invading, I definitely will. Like, it's the only item that helps invading, because it's sure ball, like, that you can reach the enemy buff, like the first buff.
That's awesome. Like,
that impacts.
That's really cool. Yeah. The one use of the Floatstone item. Good to hear that. Good to hear you found something for it. If I was theorycrafting with a friend the other day, I would love to see some more held items added to the game. And Choice Scarf is at the top of my list. I would love another movement speed and, like, attack. Or I guess that's already Floatstone. Movement speed and special attack or something would be a really, really fun addition to the game. So maybe one day I'll get my wish. But I love to see that someone has found a use for Floatstone.
Well, I mean, if you want to lose Elo very quickly, I run it on my Decidueye. So.
Okay, well, good to know. Yeah. Speaking of flip comp, you're flipping a coin with two tails if you're running that. Okay, guys, let's talk about the long-term focus of the Unite Championship Series, and of course, I'm going to be of Super Kanto Trainers. Worlds is definitely the end goal for almost every single team. I mean, regionals at the end of this series for North America is going to be a huge tournament, a big prize pool on the line for that as well. I'm personally so hyped for regionals. I'm really excited to see, like, finally, like, who are the best in NA, who can rival who. It's going to be awesome, but I have to admit, of course, Worlds is going to be exciting. It's the first Worlds that we've ever had, multiple regions, all of that stuff. So obviously May is a very, very important tournament for you guys, auto qualifying for regionals, all of that stuff. But I want to know about the world around. You guys play some interesting compositions. Obviously other regions do the same. If you guys were one of the North American representatives at the World Championships, what regions are you most excited to play against?
I would say E will be EU. Against EU a lot. Like Chroma's team, like Got Luke and the boys. I used to play with them a lot in the past.
Cool.
And
R.I.P. Alright, yeah.
On the same ping as them, that'll be very, very fun.
Yes. We're chasing that ping, MQL. I hear you. Regrets, how about you? Did you have one in mind?
Yeah, I think Japan is one that they want. Like, I think they have a really weirdest like comp they have. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I'm really excited if we can go against some up there, like comp. You know, they have different strategy, in my opinion, the way of playing the game. So it's pretty nice to go against like, a Japanese team.
Yeah, absolutely. Tough to prepare for, but probably a ton of fun to play. Yeah, definitely. JL, how about you? Did you have one as well in mind?
I think it's just the same as Regrets.
Okay.
When I watch their stuff, like it's some stuff that I wanted to try and, you know.
Yeah. Might as well play against the notepad it. Is most filled out when you're watching Japan. The secret strats getting written down.
I mean, honestly, like Japan would be the coolest just because like, we don't really get to play with them very often. And like the off chance that we do, like one of the teams get pinged if and like it's just, right, it's just not as exciting when it comes, because like, you know, one of the teams just has like a ping disadvantage. It's and if it's you, like, it's horrible. Like, I don't know if you've ever played like ESP Lucario on red bar, like that thing is painful.
Yeah, no, it's right? The worst. Yeah, you think you're taking out a whole team and then you look up and you're just still in your own respawn zone. You're like, what is happening?
It's pretty brutal. But you know, like we played a little bit against EU, right? Like, I think some of the tournaments that we do actually get to go against them, and like I think if you queue in the mornings, that's the way to get to the EU lobbies. Sure. But yeah, EU is very interesting for sure. Like, I love their strategies and stuff, but I think playing against Japan and like fair grounds, I think would be very cool.
I love that. Okay, awesome. Kuzi, how about you? What region do you want to take down the most?
I'm gonna keep it 100%, man. I started the game not that long ago. I don't know any other regions.
North America.
I'm more excited.
I'm killing
NA.
North America.
Yeah, I'm excited to take down NA. People I know, you know, some other games that I've known.
Yeah. Every other game, every other esport, you know, the regions are trying to work together. Koozie's out here trying to take down the other North America seed at Worlds. Oh, that's cool. Their main goal. I love to hear that. Rolling it down. How about you?
Hey, you're muted, son.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was talking to my mom. But I'm definitely excited to play against definitely Japan as my teammates were saying. Because, we did definitely get how would you say, ideas from them for score comp, right? We of got course, the idea yeah. from them, and, you know, I would love to play against them and see what else they come up with.
Well, you got to do it then, and you also got to get their Venmos, because I know Otter Venmoed EU for their composition in AOS, so if they're going to do it, sounds like that's the standard now. Sounds like you got to send Japan some cash, but yeah, that'd be really cool. That'd be really, really cool to watch you guys play that. That's awesome. Well, guys, the last question I have is another regional question. Anybody can answer this. Do you think right now that there are any regions that are being like kind of slept on, that are not being talked about as much? I know Japan gets a lot of eyes because it's so different. EU is kind of praised as the other like major team fighting region, but we've seen some exciting stuff from other regions as well. The Korea region kind of has a little bit of a hybrid score comp team fight sort of situation going on. South America is like all team fight all the time. It seems like that's kind of the standard pretty much any game that's played over there. Any of you guys have one in mind that you want to bring up?
I would say South America. I feel like they're going mostly for my personal experience. They have a lot of good players from what I'm seeing from a lot of their broadcasted gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
All their players are very skilled, and it's very entertaining to see their gameplay.
Yeah.
In different reasons.
Yep. A lot of dive comp, which is just so fun to watch too. Like that's always a composition that's a blast to see, but cool. All right, well, that's going to be our shout out to South America for sure. Well, awesome. Well, guys, since we are kind of running out of time here, so thank you so much for joining me on the show. I want to give everybody a chance, though. I need to give you guys a stage a little bit to sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do. If you got social media or Twitch, I want to give you guys a chance to plug it now. Where can people find you on the internet? JL, let's start with you.
I have nothing, but Twitter. I have Twitter.
There you go.
If everyone wants to follow me, I tweet some random stuff.
Very nice.
It's SKT underscore JL.
SKT underscore JL. Okay, awesome. I love the branding. Kuzi, how about you? Any online presence you want to shout out?
On Twitter, it's Kuzi with three I's. And then on Twitch, we got Kuzi with two I's and an underscore.
Okay, there we go. Make sure to go follow you guys. MQL, how about you?
Alrighty, follow my Twitter. It's MQO, D-I-F, MQO Diff. And if you want to be so nice and follow my Twitch as well, it's Malressi, M-A-L-R-E-S-S-I.
Okay, awesome. Go check it out. Regrets, how about you? Anything to plug?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, Regrets Gaming, and I also have an Instagram, Gosu Regrets. So, yeah.
Sick.
And also, we are looking for a sponsor as well, so just... give me a shout out for
heck yeah, let's get these boys paid. Okay, all right, let's make sure that happens. Rolling it down. How about you? Is your mom all right and everything?
Oh, no, yeah, she was just like
okay, cool,
she heard I was in an interview.
Give her a shout out.
Oh yeah, shout out to my mom. There you know, go. She lets me do all this, spend all this time with my friends and teammates. Appreciate it a lot. And wanted to shout out my Twitter, SKT underscore rolling it, if you want to go follow that, and also my Twitch, TTV rolling it. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, definitely follow his Twitch. Yeah. He's got like 40 something followers right now. So if he hits like 10 more, like he can get a sub, right? You can get the Twitch affiliate. Yeah, so definitely, dude, follow this guy, dude.
There you go. Get over to twitch.tv/rolling it. Absolutely. Rotom, how about you? Any more plugs?
Yeah, sure. I'll plug my own.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I have my own Twitch. I don't stream too much anymore, but it's RTMCLVGE. Yeah, just that. And yeah, if you can sub to my Twitch, sometimes that's how I pay rent. So.
There you go. Amazon Prime. There you go. You got to get paid. You got to get the... If we can get sponsors for that team, absolutely got to do it. SKT have now made 3 out of the 4 finals. They're headed into their third round here in May finals. A super important tournament for SKT and a lot of other teams around those seeding points, everybody. So make sure to tune in at the end of the month and cheer these guys on. I know I will be. So congratulations again, you guys. I know I've said it a few times, but seriously, you guys are such a fun team to watch. Very excited to see what goes down when we hit these monthly finals. That being said, just a quick little bit of Unite Mic plugs. You can find this podcast and all of our podcast episodes, the video recordings, over on YouTube. So that's going to be all the Overdunk episodes and my co-caster Dupe's next show, Late Night Unite. All of those get put on youtube.com/UniteMics. All the live recordings are done here on Twitch. And if you want to check out this show in podcast form, we're on Spotify, iTunes, and Google, and pretty much everywhere else. So if you want to download this show on podcast form, go check it out there. This is episode 27, so you got a lot of listening to do if you want to catch up there. Other than that, guys, I think that's pretty much it. We are going to have Millennium on next week for Overdunk. But until next time, guys, I will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Thank you.